Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to your one-stop shop for horror news, true crime, and real-life tales of the unexplained. Monsters at Midnight, The Revenge. Episodes of Monsters upload on a bi-weekly format every other Saturday. I'm your host, your favorite escaped madman loose on the airwaves terrorizing your eardrums, Matt Schaefer. Happy Halloween, a special bonus episode to treat your candy bucket this October. Today, I'm going to be ranking the films I chose for Schaefer Schlocktober from best to worst. Lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn out the lights. Monsters at Midnight, The Motherfucking Revenge rides again. If you are friends with me on my personal Facebook, you've known that for the past several Octobers, I've done what I've lamely titled Schaefer Shocktober, which is just a marathon, a 31-day marathon of movies that I post about, with the hope of watching all of them, which has never happened any of the years because life is busy and watching a movie every single day is sometimes exhausting. This year, when people started asking me what I was going to do for Schaefer Shocktober, I was kind of hard-pressed for ideas. So I decided to go with the worst idea I've ever had, and that was Schaefer Schlocktober, which was to talk about some of the worst, or if not the worst, the, like, corniest and stupidest horror movies I've seen. And then I also said that I would check out some films that have rather dubious reputations and give my thoughts on them to see if they were truly that bad and worthy of the negative reception. And, good lord, it has been a long month in terms of watching some pretty bad movies. I think I'm gonna need to get caught up on the movies that I actually like here and like watching this time of year. Otherwise I'll go insane. But I thought it would be fun to throw in a little bonus episode for Halloween here, ranking the movies I chose for Schaefer Schlocktober. We're going to start at the best and go to the worst, just because I think that will be interesting to really nail down truly what the worst movie I watched this October was. So we got 31 movies here, and we're just going to get into it. Starting at the bottom, the best movie I watched this October, number 31, The Phantom of the Opera, 1989. Yes, the Robert Englund cult classic Phantom of the Opera retelling, reimagining. I'm going to go on record and say that this movie is actually not bad at all. This movie is fucking cool. This movie is really good. But it was weird. I put it on the list because it's never gotten good reviews. It didn't get good reviews at the time. Like, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical was at the peak of its popularity. I think it was, like, 3 years old at that point. The slasher craze was starting to die down, and I just don't think people were looking for a hyper-violent retelling of the Phantom of the Opera in 1989, and it still doesn't really get, apart from, like, a pretty strong cult following, it still doesn't get very positive reviews to this day. I think on Letterboxd it's sitting with a 2.8 average rating. And I saw this movie originally in high school, when I was still doing movie reviews for my Rinky Dink YouTube channel that I had. And that video is still up. It's not a good video, and it's not a good review either. But I remember not being super impressed by it when I saw it in high school, and I had it logged on Letterboxd with a 2-star rating, just from memory, but holy shit, this movie is awesome. I really like this movie. It is such a love letter to gothic-style horror films and Hammer horror films. I felt really smart for picking up on that because I watched the bonus feature that's on the Scream Factory Blu-ray I have. And Dwight Little, the director, and Robert Englund were talking about how they were both fans of Hammer horror films. So they essentially wanted to reinterpret, The Phantom of the Opera in Jack Ripper's London. And it really works. This movie is gorgeous looking. It has a beautiful score. Robert Englund is really selling this performance. In fact, everyone in this movie is pretty damn good. It moves at a good pace. Has some just beautiful set design and costumes and gorgeous cinematography. Weirdly, the one thing I'm not super crazy about it is the hyperviolence, the gore. This almost, like, shocking exploitation gross-out edge that it has does not really gel with how classy and reserved the rest of the movie is, but that's also kind of the point, because Hammer did sort of dip their toe into exploitation territory from time to time. I just think it could have been a little bit more subtle, but it has some amazing practical effects. This one's worth checking out. It's a sleeper hit, and I think it should be brought up in conversation when everyone talks about great remakes, especially in the 80s. You, of course, have The Thing, and you have The Fly, and The Blob also has a cult following, but y'all, we need to start talking about The Phantom of the Opera in 1989 a little bit more. This one I actually highly recommend you check out. Number 30, we have Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Now, I didn't rewatch this movie this October, and it's been a handful of years since I've seen this movie. There's going to be a couple on this list like that, so it's more just, like, impressions of how I remember the movie. Which I know isn't exactly fair, but it's my list, so fuck off. But Killer Clowns from Outer Space, I had a lot of people pestering me to put on the list. Which, like, I get, it's really corny, it's really campy, but also I think that's the point. I don't think any person that made the movie about alien clowns that entrap their human victims in cotton candy was making the movie to be taken seriously. This movie's a blast. I thought this movie was a lot of fun when I saw it. It's funny, it's got that creepy clown edge that's always delectable in horror films. It's also got that great title theme by the Dickies. This is a good movie. If you haven't seen this movie or into culty, campy 80s horror films, this one's worth checking out. Got that video game coming out based off of it, but also I do not need another asymmetrical horror video game. I don't actually know what it's supposed to be like, but we gotta stop with the asym horror video games. Number 29, Psycho 3. Again, another movie that's weirdly really good. It's not really good, that's a little generous, but I saw Psycho 3 a couple of years ago. I watched 2 and 3 back to back, and Psycho 3 was impressive to me just by how little of a fuck it gives. It's directed by Anthony Perkins, and he's still starring in it, and he's doing all the heavy lifting. He is excellent in this movie. But this movie is just a really rough and tumble slasher movie with the backdrop of the Bates Motel. It's very pulpy, it's very grindhousey, and some of the visuals and lighting and camera angles also evoke Italian giallo films. This movie is, I think it's just someone in the In Search of Darkness documentary put it the best way. It's like Anthony Perkins finally taking control of this role that he was associated with for like 25 years at that point, and just doing whatever he wanted with it. And I think for the most part, it works. It has a great soundtrack. Like, a really good soundtrack. It's a little cheesy with the David Sanborn saxophone on it, but I don't know. This movie is fun. I want to give this movie a rewatch because this movie was just a lot of fun. For being the third Psycho movie, it was way better than it has any right to be, in my opinion. Number 28, we have Exorcist 2, The Heretic. I talked a little bit about this in the episode about horror movie sequels and their bad reputation came out a couple weeks ago. Or actually probably at the beginning of this month now at this point. And yeah, I don't think this movie is as bad as everyone makes it out to be. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and it's certainly not scary, but it has a lot of really interesting ideas that I think work better than people give it credit for. I really like the discussions about science versus religion. I really like the imagery. The movie's gorgeous looking. It has a bizarre and entrancing Ennio Morricone soundtrack. I do not think this movie's reputation is one of like the worst films or one of the worst sequels ever made is even remotely valid, but that's just my opinion. I could see getting bored by it. I could see thinking it's stupid. I just thought this movie is... I thought this movie was really intriguing, really fascinating. Number 27, we have Queen of the Damned. Now, I've never seen Interview with a Vampire. I've never seen... I've never read any of the books that these are based off of. I don't know if this is, like, a good interpretation of the works or anything like that. I would guess not, just because this movie doesn't really have much of a plot. I mean, it has a plot, but it's just kind of nothing. Like, things happen, and then the movie kind of ends. But I remember watching this with my girlfriend in, like, eighth grade, or at least part of it, and thinking it was just, like, really, like, corny and really sexed up, and I watched it the other day, and yeah, it is, but also it's just, it's so delectably horny, it's so delectably goth, and it's so new metal, with all the Jonathan Davis music, and oh my god, I really enjoyed this movie. This movie was a visual and auditory feast. It's slick, it's sexy, it moves at a good pace, it doesn't have much to say, but it doesn't overstay its welcome. Again, the plot really doesn't exist, but sometimes, especially for, like, October Brain Candy, a movie about, like, just sexy vampires, dude, sometimes that's all you need. I don't know. This movie is, like, a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, which, I mean, I get, but, like, I don't know. It was fun. I enjoyed Queen of the Damned. Rest in peace, Aaliyah. That was the biggest thing about it, is, for being called Queen of the Damned, and for, like, all the famous, like, promotional material attached to this movie, Aaliyah is not in this movie that much, and I was talking to Jolynn about it before the movie wrapped up, and she was telling me that she thought it was because she passed away before production had wrapped. And I was like, oh, that would make a lot of sense why this movie doesn't really have much of a plot. That would make sense why Aaliyah isn't really in it. But then I looked it up, and it said that she shot all of her material for this movie before she passed away. So I don't know what the true story is. I don't even know if I really care that much. Because from the jump, this story about an ancient vampire who is reawakened to become a rock star is already pretty dated and stupid. But it's exactly my kind of dated and stupid. It's just weird that Aaliyah became such a focus for this movie when she's really not in it all that much. Number 26, Jason X. Yeah, no, I love Jason X. I rewatched it with Jake and Levon this month, and this movie, again, another movie that you can't tell me people were, like, making to be taken seriously. It's part slasher movie, it's part campy, pulpy space opera. And some of the dialogue in this movie is just so overtly hilarious. So it's like, this was made to be a comedy. I do not think this movie is meant to be taken seriously. For some people, this is the moment... Well, this was a moment where Friday the 13th jumped the shark and just had nothing less left to say. But if you're going to jump the shark, this is a way to do it. This was, for the original run of the movies, this is a great way to finish it off. I fucking love this movie. I love Kane Hodder's performance as Jason. I love the kills in it. It's gnarly as hell. As silly as it is, it's still not afraid to be a red-blooded, hard R slasher movie, which I respect quite a lot. Number 25, Ridley Scott's Hannibal. I watched this for the first time last night. This is a weird-ass movie, dude. Again, talking about source material, I don't know much about the book, but I do understand that after the success of The Silence of the Lambs, Thomas Harris was essentially forced into writing another Hannibal novel. And just from this movie alone, it shows, because this movie is fucking weird, dude. I don't know why so many people are into fetishizing Hannibal Lecter. Something about it worked better in the TV show. The dynamic between Hannibal and Will Graham in the TV show worked better for me. This stuff with Clarice Starling and Hannibal just does not work. It's just such a betrayal to Clarice's character. There is stuff that I really like. All the stuff that's in Florence I thought was really cool. I can't remember his name, but the guy who plays Mathis in Casino Royale. I thought that was a lot of fun. Anthony of Hopkins, of course, is having the time of his life. It's very gorgeous. It's shot very well. It's directed very well. It's paced really well. And it has some great cinematography. It's just that story, man. It's like, what the fuck? It's so convoluted and so... But it also has no understanding of, like, how these characters worked in the first place. It just goes to show that Hannibal Lecter was... I don't think Hannibal Lecter was ever the most interesting aspect of the Hannibal Lecter movies. It was always the other characters or the other serial killers that they were investigating. So to make a movie focused around Hannibal, I just think is a flawed idea to begin with. But... excuse me. What are you going to do? The Ray Liotta brain-eating scene was pretty hilarious, so that was worth it. It's not without its merits. Again, it's gorgeous, and it moves at a good clip, and Anthony Hopkins is wonderful in it. It's just that story, dude. It's, what the fuck? I did not care for it at all. Number 24, Cabin Fever. This one, again... I'm kind of cheating. I've only seen Cabin Fever once, and that was at Horror Movie Trivia with Jolynn. So it was at a bar when I was talking to people and the sound was off. But every time I looked up, for a movie that gets such a bad rep, to this day, it has its defenders, but it's still, people fucking hate this movie to this day. I didn't think this movie looked that bad. The biggest thing is, like, you can tell some kid from Boston wrote this movie because the dialogue is pretty questionable. It's pretty dated. It's pretty tasteless. But beyond that, it looked like a fun, zany cabin in the woods horror movie with a pretty good and pretty unique idea. One of these days, I need to get around to actually watching it properly. But it looked like a good time from when I saw it at Horror Movie Trivia all those years ago. Number 23, Resident Evil. Resident Evil, I think I'm giving a bit of a pass because I watched a movie that you're going to see higher up on this list right before it that put me in the worst fucking mood. It had been a long time since a bad movie made me that mad. So I'm giving Resident Evil a little bit of a pass. It has barely anything to do with the video games, which I know infuriates a lot of people, but at least they're not selling you that they're adapting the video games. Probably hinting at where we're going later on with this list, but it's got that delectable early 2000s edge that is both quaint and, like, extremely my shit. The icy blue color palette, the gratuitous slow-mo, the industrial new metal soundtrack. I don't know. It's just something about this movie was pretty stupid fun. Emphasis on the stupid. None of the characters in this movie are, like, actual characters. Umbrella is more of a character in this movie than any of the actual characters. It has the fucking worst looking CGI I've ever seen. Holy shit. The liquor in this looks like they lifted it directly from Resident Evil 2 on the PlayStation 1, and I do not necessarily mean that as a compliment, but I loved it. Yeah, I don't know. This movie was just brain candy. It was pretty stupid trash, but it was fun stupid trash, and didn't put me in a bad mood, so I think I'm going easy on Resident Evil. Number 22, The Wicker Man, and of course I mean the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man, not the original classic that I still have not seen. However, I have seen the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man, and I've been seeing interviews recently that Nick Cage is saying that it was an intentional comedy, like that movie was supposed to be funny, and I don't know how true that is, but he ain't wrong. This movie's funny as hell. If I don't even know what to say about The Wicker Man at this point. Like, it's the memes, the iconography from it, the Cage Man have given this movie a life that I don't think anyone expected when they made it. I don't know. Not the bees. What else can you say about The Wicker Man? Number 21, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. What the fuck was the Book of Shadows? Yeah, Blair Witch 2, I talked about in that same episode. I talked about Exorcist 2 if you want more thoughts. But this is one of my newfound favorite trash movies. This movie is so stupid, so brain dead, and so nonsensical, but has some pretty interesting ideas that, granted, like, I just read recently that there was a lot of trouble behind the scenes and in the editing room, that the movie that we got was not the movie that the director was trying to make, which makes sense, because there are some good ideas in this, with the meta-narrative, and again, the ending I still think kind of works. The ending would be pretty chilling if the movie was better assembled, but as is, this is a delightfully stupid, unintentionally hilarious nu metal fever dream through the gorgeous autumn woods on the East Coast, and yeah, I think I'll be revisiting this one every October here on out. Number 20, VHS. VHS is an interesting movie. I am not a found footage movie fan. There are so many pitfalls when making a found footage movie that people fall into continuously. And it is a very difficult genre to pull off convincingly, to pull off successfully. I think the only found footage movie that I do like is The Blair Witch Project, and I don't even, like, go apeshit over The Blair Witch Project the way some people do. Like, I think the first Blair Witch is just pretty good. It's diminishing returns. Like, all the dread you feel watching The Blair Witch Project for the first time, you kind of lose on multiple viewings. But we're talking about VHS here. An anthology found footage horror film that a lot of people really like, but I think it's just a mess. It has some really good highlights. There are a couple of segments that really do work. I remember the last segment at, like, the Halloween party or whatever working really well, and of course the first segment that everyone remembers with the succubus chick or whatever she is. But there might have been a couple more in between there, but yeah, the majority of them were just terrible. It just so lame. There was the one with, like, the killer that was inside the camera that was, like, really, really bad. This movie has some good highlights, but you can just watch those segments as on YouTube as, like, short films. I don't think there is enough working as to make this a successful feature film, but a lot of people really seem to like it. I've heard that some of the sequels are better. I don't know. I tried watching VHS 94 or whatever that one was with Brian when I was visiting him in LA, and we turned it off because we were not super into it. But I've heard, like, 2 is better. I don't know. I heard some of the sequels are better. I don't really care. I don't like found footage movies, so it's, whatever. Number 19, The Hills Have Eyes Part 2. The original The Hills Have Eyes Part 2, although I've heard that the new Hills Have Eyes Part 2 is pretty bad, too. But I say new, as if that movie isn't, like, 15 years old now at this point. But The Hills Have Eyes Part 2 has always had, like, a legendarily bad reputation. It was a movie that Wes Craven essentially, like, threw together to make some quick cash because I think he was trying to finance A Nightmare on Elm Street. And I was reading yesterday after I watched it that they actually had to wrap production sooner than they thought because of budgetary constraints. They, like, ran out of money, and that's why you get a lot of gratuitous flashbacks to the original to sort of pad the running time. And then I was reading that it wasn't even released theatrically. It was, like, picked up, sold for cable just to make back some of the cost. And Wes Craven was very quick to disown this movie. He just wanted to get as, like, far away from this movie as fast as possible. And watching it for the first time, this movie ain't that bad. It's definitely not good. It's nowhere near as effective or as memorable as the first Hills Have Eyes. But it has a likable cast. I actually really like the characters in this movie. The biggest issue is it really is just, like, a very formulaic, very generic slasher movie. It actually has more in common with the Friday the 13th movies of the time than the first Hills Have Eyes. And a lot of that has to do with Harry Manfredini doing the soundtrack. It was so funny. During the opening credits, I heard that famous, like, string sting that he uses. And I was like, did Harry Manfredini do the soundtrack for this? And then it popped up in the credits. I was like, damn, I got a good ear. But yeah, no, it's not. The writing is garbage. Like, there's basically no plot. There's just, like, a vague excuse to get these teenagers into the desert again. And there's a plot twist that, like, isn't even really a plot twist because there's a flashback sequence and the dog has a flashback, which was, I thought, really funny. And the writing is, like, so brain dead that I didn't even realize one of the main characters was blind until halfway through the movie. I was just watching this girl act, like, what the fuck is she doing? Why isn't she looking at everything? Why at anyone or anything? Like, why? And then they kept talking about, like, her hearing. Like, do you hear anything? And then, like, finally I realized, oh, she's blind. She has heightened senses. But, yeah, this movie was harmless. I don't think this movie, for as bad of a reputation as this movie has, this movie was harmless. It's fine. Which is sort of true for my next entry, too. At number 18, we have Jaws, The Revenge. If you look up any list of the worst horror movies ever made, Jaws, The Revenge is surely going to be on it. It has an abysmal Rotten Tomatoes score. It has, like, a 1.8 on Letterboxd. And this movie is mediocre. This movie is, I mean, it's not good. It's not a good movie. It's a bad movie. But this is not even close to the worst movie I saw this month. I would go so far to say is I doubt this is even one of the worst, like, top 10 shark movies ever made. This movie is just bland. It's forgettable. It's dry. Michael Caine is in it, giving some class to the whole piece, but that's about it. The shark roars famously, but apart from that, it's not like it's poorly made or poorly acted. It's just, like, the inherent plot is really stupid. That, like, there's this, like, insinuation that the same shark or a descendant of the same shark from the original is stalking the Brody family. Whether that's true or not, I mean, they kind of insinuate that that's true, is stupid, but it's also, like, there are going to be horror movies higher on this list with way worse plots than that, so I was kind of like, whatever, like, I'll buy it. I just think people... This is like your dad's least favorite movie. Like, if you ask your dad what the worst movie he'd ever seen was, like, someone who watches movies but doesn't, like, consume movies, he would say Jaws the Revenge was the worst movie he's ever seen. And that's fine. Like, this movie is not good, especially as a sequel to Jaws. There's no real suspense. There's no real super memorable or likable characters. It's just, this movie is just painfully dry and average. And, again, in comparison to some of the other shit that I'm going to be talking about, this movie is not that bad. It's still bad, but, like, it ain't that bad. Number 17, A Nightmare on Elm Street, 2010. I remember vividly when this movie came out. I remember seeing the trailers. I remember the trailers really capturing my imagination in a dark and twisted way, and then eventually, I don't remember when I saw the first Nightmare on Elm Street. I think I might have been a freshman in high school. So maybe like a year or two after the remake came out, I finally got around to seeing the original. And then I never really touched this one. I didn't really feel a need to, because I loved the first Nightmare on Elm Street so much, and all the reviews I was seeing led me to believe that, like, yeah, no, I didn't really need to see this one. But I did finally give it a watch, sort of. I was working on other stuff while I was watching it. But I mean, I've kind of seen this movie already, because they lift so many things from the original whole cloth that it borders on shot-for-shot remake territory. It's not quite that, but there are a lot of sequences where it's like, this is like, it's literally like, the girl being flung around her bedroom, the body bag in the hallway, the glove coming between Nancy's legs in the bathtub. A lot of the same beats and iconography from the original movie are here. This movie isn't quite the train wreck I was expecting it to be, though. Because it's produced by Michael Bay and Platinum Dunes. The movie's actually really pretty looking. It's got some slick visuals. I like the dream worlds in this. The sort of, like, everything engulfed in, like, either, like, the, like, mechanisms and, like, boiler room stuff. I actually thought Jackie Earle Haley did a really decent job as Freddy. I mean, he has some impossibly huge shoes to fill. But I thought he was a lot of fun, simultaneously disgusting and hilarious. I thought he was a decent Freddy. This movie's just boring. Like, none of the main characters are really interesting. Everyone feels like they're, no pun intended, sleepwalking through their part, which, like, I get, they haven't been sleeping, but everyone just really seems, like, uninterested. And, again, this movie just has no imagination. There's no creativity behind it. It lifts ideas and scenes from the movie whole cloth. And there's just no reason to watch this movie over the original. Unless you're one of those Dumbo babies that just doesn't like old movies. It's like, oh, look, it's just too old. It doesn't look good. It's too old. I only like new things. Then, like, sure, fine. You'd probably love this movie. This movie would probably make you shit and fart and cum. But, like, there's just no reason to watch this movie or the original. It's boring. If the original had kids afraid to fall asleep, you could put this one on and knock them right out. Number 16, Jeepers Creepers. Now, I haven't seen Jeepers Creepers since I watched it with Graham back in the dorm rooms, but did I miss something? Did I just, like, see this movie way too late, way beyond the hype? Because people fucking love this movie, and I thought this movie was lame as hell. I didn't think it was scary. I didn't think any of the characters were likable. That's the biggest thing, is I don't remember this movie really well. I just remember thinking it was lame, but, like, people adore this movie, and I don't know. I don't get it, but I'm not going to really sit here and harp on it just because I haven't seen it in a million years. Same thing with, actually, these next few, so we'll kind of pick up the pace here a little bit. Number 15, John Carpenter's The Ward. This was, well, until recently, the last directorial effort from John Carpenter, and the biggest thing I remember is, I remember thinking this movie was okay. I remember thinking this movie was, it was kind of a generic haunted house story in an asylum, which kind of worked. It was kind of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest meets The Haunting. And then there's a twist ending that I don't even remember super well, but I remember the twist ending being so half-assed that it just kind of soured the whole experience for me. But that's kind of the consensus, is that people will argue what John Carpenter's best film is, but most people will agree that The Ward is probably his worst movie. Number 14, The Purge. Interesting concept. Again, another one of those movies that I hear the sequels do a lot better things with, but man, this movie sucked. I have never liked this movie. I saw this movie in the theaters, and all the character motivations and character actions were so stupid. It was just giving white people in horror movies a further bad reputation. I thought the twist ending was stupid. Everything about this movie was stupid. It was so half-baked and so lazily written. It was like someone came up with a cool concept on a cocktail napkin, and then no one knew how to, like, write a movie around it. Again, I hear some of the sequels are better, but I don't know. Some people still dig on this one. You can miss me with this shit. I've never liked The Purge. Number 13, another movie that people go apeshit over that I've never liked, Paranormal Activity. I don't like found footage movies. This movie was shot in, like, 8 days, and it shows. All the, like, trappings to make it look like, oh, it could have really happened, just makes the movie look cheap and amateur, and the story is so painfully vapid that I just do not fuck with it. I do not care about found footage. I don't care about Paranormal Activity. And now there's, like, a million of them, so I really don't care about Paranormal Activity. Number 12, The House is October Built, the final found footage movie on this list. This was one that Jake was amped to show us, and it just has every terrible cliche and trope of the found footage genre that I cannot get behind. It has a good Halloween-y atmosphere because it's all about this group that just goes to the most extreme haunted houses in America, and then they start getting stalked or some shit. I don't know, it was just stupid. This movie was brain dead. I didn't like it. One of those found footage movies where it's like, no matter where the characters are, you can still hear them perfectly. And one of those found footage movies that has a score, it's like, okay, it's, alright, it's not, you can't do this. Like, who wrote the score? Why is everyone mic'd up? Like, think about this shit when you make this type of movie, and they didn't, and fucking, I don't know, lame, didn't like it. Get it out of here. Number 11, Psycho, 1998. It's hard to call this movie completely terrible. I'm going to be fair to it. It's hard to call this movie completely terrible when it is literally a shot-for-shot remake of one of the best movies ever made. There are some inherently good things about this movie, in terms of shot composition, in terms of pacing, in terms of scoring, in terms of performances. There are some decent performances in this. This movie is just so pointless. Like, other than, again, being a Dumbo crybaby who can't watch a movie in black and white, why would you need to watch this movie? There is no reason to watch it over Hitchcock's original, because everything that is okay in Psycho 1998 is just infinitely better in the original. So that's why it's so high on this list. It's not even necessarily because it's terrible. It's just because it's pointless. What a waste of time of a movie. Number 10, Ghostbusters 2016. I really don't want to talk about this movie super much because the fallout when this movie came out was messy and was not fun to be around. You had people that are dogpiling on it because they're fucking idiots and just because it had women in it. And then you had women championing it just because there were dudes dogpiling on it. But at the end of the day, this movie just isn't good. And just, or at least, this movie is not my thing. This style of humor that a lot of SNL alum have adopted past, like, 2010 is just not my thing. They vamp and banter and ad-lib for what feels like an eternity, and it makes this already bloated movie feel so much longer, and none of it is funny. There are a couple good jokes. To be fair to the movie, there are some things I like about it. I like some of the new ghost designs. I like some of the new tech designs. I like what they created for the, like, Ghostbusters universe. But I also like that it's not like a one-to-one remake per se. But it's just so not funny and goes on for so long. And if this movie worked for you, great. I know a lot of people really do like this movie, but it's just not my thing. Not my thing at all. Number 9, Satan's Little Helper. Jesus Christ, what a fucking movie. Another one I haven't seen in a long time, but this is a weird fucking movie. This is just like a shot-on-video, direct-to-DVD little thing that has like a massive cult following now, as I understand it. Really tasteless shocker exploitation film, but also just really cheap and really dopey and really bad, but also like really tasteless. There's the one thing I remember the most clearly is like some dude in a mask dabs up the killer and drops the N-word, and the dude is definitely white. He is not black. It's just Amanda Plummer's in it from Pulp Fiction, and she looks like she's drunk the entire time. I don't know. This movie is up here because it is bad. It's not a good movie, but it's also, like, this movie, it would be worth a revisit with some friends and some drinks, I think. This movie was fun. Number 8, Troll 2. The legendary, the worst movie ever made. The most terrible sequel ever made. I just kind of thought this movie was boring. Like, there are some undoubtedly really funny moments in this movie. And some ones that will be remembered forever. But, like, I just thought this movie was boring. Like, it's paced really terribly. Like, it takes a long time to get to, like, really funny moments. Except for the oh my god scene. That happens, like, really quickly. And then you're kind of waiting for the next thing to happen because you're like, oh shit, if that's happening this early in the movie, then the rest of the movie has to be fucking hysterical. And it's really not. Like, I truthfully don't see what the fuss is all about. This movie is just, like, bad and boring. And it has a couple of really funny moments. I do really like the chick that plays the villain in this because I think she's the only one that realized what a dumpster fire this was going to be. So she just goes, like, full insano mode with this. But yeah, I have a similar problem with The Room, but The Room has a lot more enjoyment spread out throughout it, but, like, when it dips, it really dips and just becomes really bad and really boring, and I felt like that was the majority of Troll 2. So, yeah, I don't know, I can't even, like, recommend this one, like, to go, oh, it's so funny, it's hysterical, because, like, some of it is. I don't know, weird movie. I don't see what all the fuss is about. I just thought this movie was really bad and really boring. Number 7, we have Saw the Final Chapter. Talked about this in ranking the Saw movies, but, yeah. This movie sucks dick. This movie has wild logic leaps and continuity errors and plot contrivances, and nothing about it makes sense in the context of the universe or the context of the way things work in real life, and it has a laughably stupid twist ending. This movie is almost so bad it's funny, but it's just bad for the most part. Yeah. It's still, in my mind, easily, handily, the worst Saw film. Number six, Black Christmas 2019. You can listen to my Black Christmas old versus new versus newer for more thoughts on this. But yeah, people are talking about how it's stupid that the shark in Jaws the Revenge has a vendetta against the Brody family. Y'all, your plot could get even stupider, and also be even less scary. God, fuck this movie. This movie sucked so much dick. Oh, I hated it. I can't even say that I hate it, because, like, it was just so ineffective as everything it was trying to do as a political statement, as a horror movie, as a remake of Black Christmas. It just failed on every front, and it's just so ineffective. Bad movie. Bad, bad movie. Number five, Halloween Resurrection. Trick or treat, motherfucker. Classic. I talked about this in ranking the Halloween sequels. This movie is bad, bad, real bad. A chore to sit through. There's a certain kind of trash that appeals to me, and this ain't it. The Busta Rhymes, Kung Fu Kickin' Michael Myers, groovy, baby. It's never worked for me. Never been my thing. This movie's bad. Again, kind of a found footage movie, too. Fucking stupid, lame. I don't know, it's a lame movie. Not good. Not worth the time. Number four, Willy's Wonderland. Movie that is embarrassing when I tell people that I'm a Nicolas Cage fan. Like, this movie was so dreadful in every aspect. It looked like garbage. It was edited like shit. Everyone was terrible in it. Nicolas Cage, if you're going to have him in that crazy of a role of a movie, have him do something fun. Like, he doesn't do anything except, like, play pinball and then beat up animatronics. Like, it's a fucking weird movie. I'm also hearing that the Five Nights at Freddy's movie isn't that good either, but we'll save that for another episode once I get around to seeing it. I know some people really like Willy's Wonderland. I just cannot fuck with it. It was tough to sit through. It was fun roasting it with friends, but tough to sit through. Number three, Blood Gnome. And you're probably thinking, what the fuck is Blood Gnome? And honestly, I had to, like, remind myself what Blood Gnome was. But essentially, when Brian and Mason, my good buddies from college, got the Satan's Little Helper DVD, they had to get it on a 3-pack DVD. They also had a movie called Blood Gnome on it. And I don't really remember much about it other than it had terrible creature effects and a weird, like, plot about, like, bondage and S&M dungeons. And it's hard criticizing a movie that barely looks like it's above, like, a home video quality, but I don't feel that bad. Like, this movie was dog shit. It was terribly written, it was terribly acted, but also, like, no one saw this movie, so I don't feel that bad for saying it's the third worst movie that I talked about this Schlocktober. I don't remember much about it. I just remember it being insufferably bad. And number two, we have Silent Hill Revelation. Oh, my God. Silent Hill Revelation has it has worse reviews than the predecessor. I'm not gonna lie, if I was forced to, I would rather watch this movie than the first film again, which is gonna spoil what our number one pick is here, but this movie is lame. This movie sucks. This movie is like Silent Hill as told by a 5-year-old who had a week and $12 to make a movie. That is a given. But everything in this is so schlocky and so surface level that, like, I was nowhere near as mad at it as I was the first Silent Hill. This movie is just so brain dead in its continuity. It can barely follow the first movie, let alone actually try and adapt anything from Silent Hill 3. It's still got fucking all the creature designs from the second game, which makes no sense, but I know that that's a hill that every Silent Hill fan, will die on. This movie was just sucks. This movie was just suck. It was lame, it was incompetent, it was brain dead, but it didn't make me mad like our number one entry here, and that being the first Silent Hill film. Now, this movie has a cult following, and boy howdy, I want some of what y'all are smoking. There are some fans of the video games that are like, yeah, it's not great, but it has, like, the visual style and elements from the games that I really enjoy, so I really like this movie. I've got fucking coworkers that were on my ass to watch this, because, like, they were like, oh, like, you haven't seen the movie? Like, you're a fake Silent Hill fan. I was like, you guys are the fucking fake Silent Hill fans. Haven't played any of the goddamn video games. This movie's written by Roger Avery. What the fuck? I thought, this makes me question whether or not Roger Avery should have a career. Like, Jesus Christ, this movie was bad, and it put me in a shitty fucking mood. This was a terrible way to start my Tuesday or whatever that day I was watching this on. Oh my god. At the beginning, I was kind of into it, because the visual style, the camera angles and stuff that they were lifting directly from the first game, the transition into Otherworld, and the actual music cues showing up by Akira Yamaoka was pretty cool. But this movie just falls apart and falls on its face so fast. The acting in this is miserable. It is insufferable. I don't want to make fun of a kid, but she was terrible. Hated her in this movie. Our leading lady was terrible. Sybil Bennett, poorly written, inconsistently written. They both were. Like, there are so many scenes where, like, they're switching character dynamics, and it was just a mess. Sean Bean, you can act, dude. What the fuck are you doing in this? Oh my god. And, like, if you're gonna try and mash up the first two games into one movie, there is plenty of story that can be adapted. But it's clear that Roger Avery didn't either understand or care about either of those games. So we get a generic witchy, witch hunt, culty, fucking brain dead, stupid ass movie that far better versions of exist. You want to talk about, like, The Wicker Man again? Like, the original Wicker Man exists. I'm not sure exactly if that's the best comparison, but, like, there are better cult movies, as in movies about cults and witches, that you could be watching. Suspiria exists. Like, every decision in this movie was simply baffling. Like, how are you just going to have the bubblehead nurses and pyramid head in this game, in a context, or in this movie, rather, in a context that makes no sense for them to be there? And again, that just comes from a lack of understanding of the source material. Like Pyramid Head designs is incredible. So the nurses' designs are incredible. So you just steal that, and there you go. Oh, this movie fucking sucked. By the time it was starting to wrap up, I was almost like begging it to stop. Because it was just so insufferably stupid that I couldn't even recommend it to someone who, like, is just a horror fan. Like, it sucked even worse as a Silent Hill fan. I can't even recommend it to someone who's not a Silent Hill fan, because it was so poorly written and so terribly fucking paced. This movie's 2 hours long. It has no reason to be 2 hours long, and it's everyone acting in it just forgot how to act that day. And that's why, like, the cult following that this movie has, I just do not see. This movie fucking falls way flat. And again, I think that's why I was more lenient on Resident Evil, because I was like, oh, well, at least they're not, like, really adapting Resident Evil. Like, there's the T-Virus, and there's the Umbrella Corporation, but that's it. This game is like promising you Silent Hill. The director is a self-proclaimed fan of Silent Hill. They are using musical cues, camera angles, and visuals from Silent Hill. And you don't get Silent Hill. You get, like, the world's shittiest Suspiria or Wicker Man knockoff with really terrible acting. And fucking apparently the same director is coming back to do another Silent Hill movie, and it's going to be an adaptation of the second game, and I just... Why... Was this movie really that good? Or was it just that Silent Hill Revelation got such a bad reputation that Konami is like, well, people like the other one better, maybe let's get this guy back to do another one. Ugh. If he fucks up that movie, that is just like, I'm just done with video game movies. And I'm done with people that watch them and don't play the video games. Like, grow up, play the fucking video games. but yeah, that's Schaefer Schlocktober Ranked. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to the Monsters at Midnight YouTube channel. Have thoughts on today's episode or suggestions on future ones? Shoot us an email at monsters.midnight@gmail.com. Midnight spelled incorrectly. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at letterboxd.com/MattFlamingo. I try to write about everything I watch, so if you want my thoughts on non-horror movies, you can head over there. Until next time, my tender lumplings, have a very happy